Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love and bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
Chapter 1, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, we're going to be looking back at what you got last week in Discovery Bible Study, and we're going to expound upon that now, and then tonight we'll get what you went through just a few moments ago in your DBS. So we're looking at this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, the last several verses there. We're looking at verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. We're going to kind of look at the theme of the verses, and come up with some good applications, I think, that we can get. Before, as you turn there, go ahead and get there, then ask you some questions about this. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22. So go ahead and get there. And as you're turning, my question to you is, have you ever been united with somebody because of some sort of a common bond that you didn't know that you had? Maybe you've been talking with a complete stranger, and you got to talking, and then you realized, well, they had something in common with you, and then the more you talked, there was something else, and before long, you realized, wow, we have a lot in common, and in the what it does is it unites you together. It makes friends out of you. You want to keep in contact. It's happened many times in my life that I've got to talk with somebody, and somebody that you didn't know that there was anything familiar with this other person, and then you got to talking, and before long, you became good friends because there was a common bond that was there. You see, common bonds unite people. I remember one of my spiritual heroes outside of the Bible era is George Mueller. I love hearing the story of George Mueller and how he trusted God for everything. And he did, just with great amounts of trust that he endeavored to do so many things. Certainly a hero of mine. And I look at George Mueller, and there were a lot of people that were helped by George Mueller. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young people. Millions and millions of monies, dollars or pounds, went through George's hands. And he was able to help so many of these people. And we have, I think even our church has watched the documentary, The Robber of the Cruel Streets, is what they refer to him as. It's a documentary that went through George Mueller's life and, of course, how he was a rebel to start off with, and then God got a hold of his heart and saved him. And he just did some amazing work for the Lord. At the end of that documentary, there's a group of people, and I don't know how old that was, but there's a group of people that obviously were old, at least the timing of the filming of it, and these people got together under a common bond. That common bond was they were young people that were helped out through some of George Mueller's orphanages that he had started. And these people got together and they formed some sort of a society together, people all over the place, different times. And they got together and they unite and they spend time together because they had a common bond. They could all tell stories. It might have been from different dates. Maybe they didn't see that other person there, but later. And they were able to get together and form this group of people. And they could tell their stories. Again, maybe a different house. Maybe a different place that they were raised there, but under George Mueller's influence. And so what they do is they get together and they're able to share stories. Well, I was able to go through this and we did this. Well, do you remember this? And, well, we didn't have that, but we have this. And you see there's some sort of a camaraderie that they have there simply because they have some things that are common. I can easily start up a conversation with somebody here in Pennsylvania when I see a license plate with Wyoming on it. Doesn't mean that I know everybody in Wyoming. Have you ever heard that before? You know, you hear somebody that's from, you know, maybe somebody lives over in London. You know, and you have some relatives there, and you meet somebody from London, and your first thought is, well, do you know so-and-so? And they're thinking, no, just kind of like America, right? If you were in London, you know, do you know so-and-so? They live out in Minnesota. And you'd be thinking, no, I don't know them. It's a big place. But once you're able to start fellowshipping with somebody, you know, take for instance, you know, out in Wyoming. You know what? I don't know everybody in Wyoming, although it would be easy to find somebody in Wyoming that I knew probably than London. But just because they're from Wyoming does not mean that I know them. But yet there's a common bond there. You know what? You can go out and talk about the lack of people or the wind blowing or whatever it is. You can find a common bond and you know what? There's more things to find out. And then you find out that they were raised on the western side as well. And they also grew up on a ranch or they this and you've probably all had circumstances before where you have met somebody that you had somebody in common with, and before long, you developed a relationship. You see, common bonds unite people. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 tell us about some common bonds that we have, and the goal for it is to unite us together. Let's look down at 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 22, I'll read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll look at some things that we see from this passage. He says in verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." This morning we're going to look at a number of ones here. You say, what do you mean, ones? We're going to look at some things that are common. We're going to look at our one source. We're going to look at our one element. We're going to look at one people. We're going to look at one body, and we're going to look at one command. All one thing. Some common ground. We all have common ground here this morning. So let's go ahead and look at this passage. And first of all, we see our one source. Our one source. Let me give you, before we look at this source, let me give you an overview. Because again, I want you to understand this passage. Now, probably your DBS leader last week did a good job, but let me give you some phrases that are used here, and I want to help you understand this, because, you know, even like that first phrase, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, that right there, what is he talking about? Seeing ye have purified your souls. Now, we look at that and say, okay, we've done something to purify ourselves. Maybe that's get right from sin, or maybe that's doing something. Maybe it's going to church and getting purified here. Notice he says, purifying your souls in obeying. So right away you think, okay, there was some purifying done because I obeyed God and His Word. Maybe I was obedient to something He wanted me to do, to give this or to do that. Well, he even further describes it saying, obeying the truth through the Spirit. Well, I'll tell you, combining all of this regarding the fact that we have been saved or purified through believing the truth about salvation is kind of what it's saying. We have been saved through believing or obeying the good news of the gospel. It's something that we had to follow through and do. You know, it's not an action necessarily. It's not a work that we have done, but it's accepting of it. We have gone through and we've believed that truth. And what does that truth do to us? It purifies our souls. Who was the key element and instrument in saving us? It was the Holy Spirit. So he's really, I know that sounds big and it's a bunch of works in order to get this, but honestly what he's saying is, okay, you've been saved. So we start off this fact, okay, so the fact that I have believed, I've been saved, I've been purified through believing the truth about salvation. And I trust that all of you are here in that same group. You've believed that about salvation. You've accepted that. And I'll tell you, person, if you're here today, you've never come to believe, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want to urge you to do that. Because we don't know when it's going to be too late. I ask you, have you placed your faith and trust? Have you believed what the words have said about the truth of salvation? So many people believe that what the word says is that they've got to work for it. They've got to be a good person. That's not the truth of the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So, seeing you have purified your souls, or seeing that you're saved because of what you've believed, then he says something. What it goes to, so you get saved for something. Naturally, every person that's saved gets something. And it's referred to as the unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, there's two love words that are used in these verses, because you're going to see, or this verse, even verse 22, he says here, see that you love one another. So there's two words of English, the English word love here, but there's two words that are given here. The first word that is given, the unfeigned love of the brethren, is something that you get when you're saved automatically that you have. And the word comes from the base word phileo, and it's a very specific word, Philadelphia, which is brotherly love. Okay, brotherly love. It's having that brotherly love. Do you know when a person gets saved, that they have been given a desire to love brothers and sisters? That's a characteristic of a saved person, that we love. Why do we love? I'll tell you, in jumping ahead, is because there's a common bond. God gives us something. It's kind of like a magnet to unite. Have you ever been encouraged to find somebody that's a believer? Maybe you've had somebody come over and fix your furnace in your house, or they came over and did this and you were going to share the gospel with, and you started talking and all of a sudden you come to realize that they're a Christian too. Let me ask you, did it discourage you or encourage you? For the most part, it's encouraging. Oh, there's another saved person. There's a person out there that believes the truth. Just because they don't come to Faith Bible Church doesn't mean that they're not saved. There's a lot of saved people out there from a lot of different backgrounds and different places and cultures and origins. There's a lot of people out there that are fully trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, you know, the Bible teaches that narrow is the way. I think when we look in the whole of population of things that I mean, we might be disappointed to find out that there are many people that aren't trusting in Jesus Christ. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I don't think we hang our heads. I'm encouraged sometimes to find out that there are many other people out there that are trusting in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, even in the towns where we live in right here. We praise the Lord for that. But there's a common bond here, and that's their salvation. So, see, he tells us, we're saved unto unfeigned love of the brethren. This word unfeigned is unhypocritical. The new natural tendency for a saved person is to have unhypocritical brotherly love for each other. It's a pure love. I love you not because of the way you act or all the things you do. No, I love you because we just found a common bond. We're brothers. God gives that to a person that is a Christian. When we get saved, there's an attraction to other people, other Christians. You say, well, preacher, why don't I feel that now? Probably because we've let a lot of distractions come into our lives that have weakened that common bond. We have found things in the world that have come in that we get more excited about. But if a person's saved, you have that inner desire to be with each other. Is there other things that could get in the way? Well, I think that when a person's backsliding or sinning, I think that's something that we don't feel like getting together with other brothers and sisters because we don't want to be accountable. We don't want to have them probe into our lives. We don't want certain things. And so we don't want to be close to brothers and sisters. We don't want to get close because they're maybe living for the Lord. That's a side note. I'm just trying to describe what these verses are saying. So regarding the fact that we've been saved, believing the truth about salvation, the new natural tendency is to have uncritical brotherly love for each other. He goes on to the phrase, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Here's the directive in the verse. So the first was just comment about the truth. So you've been saved. You've been given a desire to Philadelphia or love your brothers and sisters naturally. But now he gives the directive. He goes beyond the Philadelphia love, the brotherly love, and he gives us the word agape. This is God's love, sacrificial love that Jesus Christ showed us on the cross. He says, see, that's a directive, see, or do this. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So he says, on top of this phileo love, on top of this, though, God wants us to have a deeper and unobstructed, intense agape love for all of our brothers and sisters. He wants us to have this deep, deep-seated love for each other. Just for your own reference, going on, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. If I can take all of that, there's a lot of words there. It's kind of like saying this. As we all have been born of a gospel that is incorruptible and eternal, our love for our brethren should match. It too should be eternal and incorruptible. So he's taken the main theme of our love for each other. You were saved. You've been given a Philadelphia love for each other. I want you, he says, to have an agape love. I want you to go an intense, all-out love for each other that resembles the gospel that never fades. And it never goes away, and it's always there. That's the kind of love I want. And we'll see tonight that he continues to talk about the relationships with other brothers in chapter 2. There are some things that are going to get in the way of these relationships. And there are things that ought to help it. Okay, and so that's for tonight, though. So right now, he's giving us a directive. You've been saved. You've been given a desire to love brothers and sisters. But I want you to do something. I want you to get more serious than that Philadelphia love. I want you to get serious about your brothers and sisters. I want you to give everything to these people. But as I told you, there's some one things that I want you to see out of here. And this is going to help us to know how to love each other. Okay, notice first of all that there is one source. Here's the first common bond. I'm going to give you five things quickly in the next half hour or however long it takes. I'm going to give you five things that are common elements. You know, when you got together with that person, you got to talking. Oh, there's the origination. We have that in common bond. Oh, there's this, and I also have this. Five things here that we as Christians have together. The first is the source. We've all been born of God. We all come from the same place. Notice in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So here's the source. We see also in verse 25, by the word of the Lord endureth forever, which and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So here we have the Lord. You know, we as Christians, right here in this room, there are certain things that we have in common. And I think that there's a mixer game. Sometimes when they go up to camp and they play this, and there's certain things that they've got to find in common. And so they go and they ask certain questions. And as soon as the person says go, everybody stands up and they're going around and what's your favorite this? And you've got the wrong. And once you find somebody, then, okay, now we're together. And then we go and then we find another. And before long, you're supposed to get everybody that had this certain common bond together. The first thing that we see that could be characteristic of the people here is that all of us, as Christians, we all have the same source. It's our Lord. You know what? Everybody that's saved here today can say, He's my Lord. I could go around the room and, who's your Lord? And if you're saved, you would say, He's my Lord. And we would get together with not as many people here today, but you know, let's say 65, 70 people here, and we would say, you know what? We all share the same Lord. And you know what? That unites us. We have something in common. Do you think that you could walk into Kmart today? Now, there might not be too many people because they're going out of business, and so there's not a lot of people in there. But let's say that before they were, you could go into Kmart. Might it be difficult to get 60 or 70 people in the building at the same time? You know, if you did that, you say, who is your Lord? Now, I understand they would kind of look at you funny. Who is your Lord? But in the illustration that I give, can you imagine going to a place in just the general public and being able to go around and find, you know, 60, 70 people that had the same common bond? That they would claim Jesus is their Lord, God is their Lord? Folks, I want to tell you something. I want to paint a picture here for you to see how blessed it is. You know, you're going through the checkout counter and you hand that tract out to that person, and surprisingly, they actually smile at you and say, you know what? I appreciate this. He's my Lord as well. Now, that's going to encourage you, isn't it? It encourages me. Some of you have been to a door and you've gone out on soul winning and you've knocked on a door. And you knock on it, and you get all kinds of different responses. Some people greet you with a big dog. Some people greet you with a big smile. Some people greet you with a big frown. Some people greet you with their door open this far. What do you want? You know. Some people greet you, and they're there to chat for a long time. And we get greeted by all kinds of different people. One of the most troubling doors that I knock on is the door when you open it up, and they say, They say, you know what, I've got my church, I already believe in God, and you can go away. And I think to them, do we really have the same Lord? Now, I'm not questioning their salvation, I don't know, and I can't say they don't. But there's something wrong there when they don't want to, you know what, I might operate differently than you, I might worship differently than you, but I love to hear when somebody knows the Lord. And they're not ashamed of it. They're happy. I love it when I knock on a door and somebody comes out with a smile when they know what you're doing. They identify me or you not as, you know, one of the other religions that goes around. They, you know, when they hear that we're just here to be a blessing, we've got the Word of God, we want people to know that they are on their way to heaven when they die. I love it when I do that and I introduce myself and they still have that smile, whether they're saved or not. And they, especially though, when they say, "That's good. I'm so glad that you're doing this. I love the Lord as well, and He went to the cross for me, and I have received Him as my personal Lord and Savior." Right there, you just think, I've got a brother or sister right here. Would you all agree with me that that would be an encouraging thing to find another brother and sister? It is. But can I tell you something? We've got 60 or 70 right here. You know what? And you look at the person sitting down the row from you, and you're like, yeah, that's so and so. Listen. We ought to start looking at the people around us with something common. There's another brother. We've got the same Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing? We all in this room are looking at the same Lord. And that is going to bring us together. We've got the same Lord. He is our Lord. We've got one King. We've got one Master. We've got one Deliverer. The same one that showed up my doorstep with the key of truth that came and delivered me. You think of that illustration. In prison, doomed and damned to the lake of fire. And there was that angel that showed up with a key. Jesus Christ, who came and He opened the door. And He set you free. I'll tell you something. If you were in prison, and you were doomed to death, and that one came to the door and freed you, you would have a story to tell about that individual. This man, I've never seen him. He came and he showed up. You know, you're sitting there telling that to your neighbor, and they look at you and say, the same thing happened to me. Well, what did he look like? Well, are you serious? Well, that's the same. That sound, well, what did they talk like? How did they act? What did they do? What was he wearing? And the conclusion at the end, that was the same one that came to me. Can you imagine a couple of inmates getting together after they were delivered and now they're free? Can you imagine a group of people that just happened to find out some other people that they were delivered from the prison in the same manner, in the same way? From the same person, I say same way, maybe a different way, but the same truth from the same person. Let me ask you, if there were 70 people that had that story, wouldn't you think that they would get together and they would feel like they had something in common? Yeah, one Lord, one Master, one Deliverer. One same person that loves them. Think about that just for a moment. You know, the person and Jesus Christ that loves you so much that you live with every day. Now, brother says, can I say this? If you go day to day without a personal fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, you're missing out on something. I want to tell you something. There are tough days when I wake up. There are tough days when you wake up and you feel like nobody understands. You struggle and you're going through certain things, yet there's one that always knows what you're going through. And it's the same person that loves you, Jesus Christ. And if everybody in the world hates you, you know you have one, Jesus, that loves you. But you know what? He's the same with everybody here. He loves Bettina just like He loves Debbie. And He's helping Bettina just like He helps Debbie and Bonnie and Shalissa. And I could go around the room. It's the same one that is there. Are you getting the point? We have one Lord in common. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it ought to unite us. It ought to pull us together just like a magnet. Isn't God good, Debbie?
Yes.
He is. I want to tell you something. When we recognize that common bond, it pulls people together. And we ought to go around talking about our good Lord that we have. We have one Lord, and it's common, and it ought to pull us together. I'm so grieved when people that have the same family fight. You ever met some siblings that they came from the same set of parents? And yet they are the world's worst enemies to the day. I recently heard about somebody, you know, in the area that you know, the siblings, you know, they had a fight, you know, way back whatever, and they don't claim their relatives, and they fight against them. I want to tell you, when I hear that story, it breaks my heart. I didn't have the greatest relationship necessarily. I mean, when I say it was a good relationship, but I didn't have my brother and my sister. I can't say that we were the closest thing to ever live together. But we had a good relationship. And I tell you what, to think that today that my brother would be my world's worst enemy, that just grieves me. I love my family. To think that maybe me and my sister would hate each other's guts so bad that we couldn't even stand to be in the same building together. There are people that are like that. You know, the sad part is there's Christians that are like that as well. You know, we're brothers and sisters together. What a horrible thing about sibling and parent. You know, there's some people that hate their dad's guts. That grieves me when I hear that. It grieves me when I hear somebody that is so... But brothers and sisters, can I bring it down to you? We have the same Lord. The same Lord. We have, in other words, we've got the same Father. We've got the same Daddy. And when we find something in common, just like brothers and sisters, blood-wise, it ought to pull us together. We've got the same dad. Are you hearing this? We've got the same dad. Our Father. Praise the Lord. Same Lord. We have common ground. Look at the second thing. The second thing that I want you to see there in verse 23 again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Folks, we have the same gospel, the same book. And we have the same Lord, okay? He's the originator. We've got the same origin. But we also have the same one element, as I put it here, the gospel. You know what? It's not some different way in which we come to Christ. It's not some different story. And by the way, our world teaches that there's all kinds of ways to get to God. Doesn't matter if you do it through this religion or this church or that church. Doesn't, you know, if you use this book or that book, it doesn't matter. As long as you have one, as long as you have a faith, as long as you have faith in something. Is that the Bible? As long as you have faith? No, sir, or no, ma'am. It's not about one faith. Jesus saith unto him, I am the is exclusive, the way, the truth, the life. And what does he say next? How many men? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, it's very exclusive. It's one narrow way. It's through Jesus Christ. And if somebody is not going through Jesus Christ, then they don't know the way. We have the same gospel. You know, the same way in which you were delivered from that prison cell, the same way in which you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is everybody else here that's trusting in Him. What an amazing thing. We have the same book. We have the same gospel. And by the way, this book is the same answer to every single person here. You know, there's not a variety of ways that we go through things. You know, there's one truth here. And what's good for me is good for you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable just to some men? No, to all men. It's profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God, that's Christians, specifically the one studying the Word of God, but that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. We've got the same, you know what? We've got the same Lord, we've got the same book and the same gospel to read. I think it's neat that we have a common bond. Well, you're telling me you read the same set of instructions as well? That's right. We're both operating under the same set of instructions. The same Lord, same originator, the same book, the same gospel, the Bible. We've got it together. What an amazing thing. Oh, we're finding more and more things that we have in common with each other. You know, the same book that takes care of the same problems. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And guess what? Those same common problems are dealt with through the same common book, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God with the same source. I'll tell you what, it's all of us. 1 Peter 5:9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You know what? I've been studying that passage, and it's kind of reiterating 1 Corinthians. He said that there's nothing new under the sun with your brothers. We really are going through the same life. Same book, same God. Common ground. I want you to see thirdly, as we move forward, look at verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." I want you to notice not only one source, one element, one people. We are one group. We're all brothers. We're called brethren. Remember John chapter 1? Remember the Jesus Christ came to who initially? Who did he come to? He came to the Jews, right? And how many of, I say how many, did they as a group accept him? No, they rejected him. And in John chapter 1, he says he came into his own, that was the Jews, but his own received him not. And then the very next verse says, verse 12, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them," and that's who? As many, right? Or in other verses, whosoever. As many as receive him. By the way, that's those who are willing to receive him. Not God just necessarily choosing them, but those who would receive him. "To them gave he power to become" who? "The sons of God," even to them that believe in his name. Every person that is trusting in that one Lord through that one gospel is made one brother and sister with each other. We're one group of people. We are God's people. We are the sons of God. "But as many as believe him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." How were we bought back into his family? With the precious blood of Jesus Christ, making us one blood. You know what? I've got a common bond with my brother who we are blood brothers. Do you realize that I am blood brothers and sisters with you as well, spiritually, because we have common blood. And whose blood is it? It's not mine. It's Jesus Christ's blood. We are blood bought brothers. We have some things in common here. There's things that I can relate with you. You know, we can talk about our origin. We can talk about the gospel that we have. It's all the same. We can talk about the same way in which we were redeemed. We can talk about that blood. We're brothers. We come from the same family. We've got the same daddy. Common ground. Galatians chapter 3, I found these verses, verse 26 and 27. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." If you're saved, remember the illustration several weeks ago we were going through? Baptized into him. When you got saved, you were put into his body. And guess what? As we sit there inside this, again, for illustration, this bubble, we look around and say, "Hey, you're in here too. And you're in here, and you're in here, and you're in here, and all of a sudden we realize, I'm not the only one in here. I've got some other brothers that are in the same category, in the same situation. Common ground, same people. We go to the next thing, one people. I want you to see one body, number four, one body. Look there in verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love" who? "One another." I did a study a couple years ago on Wednesday nights on the phrase "one another." It's a Greek word called, it's the Greek word allelon. It means one another. And the word is so interesting because it means individual parts that make up a whole. It's one body. You know how we've talked about our bodies are made up of all kinds of individual parts? I could put Zach on the spot and ask him how many muscles we have, but I'm not going to do that. But we have, Zach, do we have lots of muscles?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. We have lots of bones, ligaments, tendons, and all kinds of other parts of our bodies, right? All kinds, even down to the cells. And the number of, if you divide it all up, would be in the probably billions and trillions and whatever, especially you take it into the cells. Okay, each body part, but together your body is made into what? One whole. You know, that word, one another, is the idea of individuality with unity. You know, I've used the illustration before when we've looked at Ephesians chapter 4. Aren't you glad that your bicep didn't take vacation this morning? Aren't you glad your brain didn't take vacation? Some of you say, you know, my brain took vacation this morning. You know what? The truth of the matter is to function properly, we need a full-functioning body that is there. You need your brain, which tells your eyes to look at this, which tells, you know, this to do that, and we fire all together, and our bodies are one whole. You know what, this word, this phrase, one another, we love one another, gives us, it takes away the individuality and it says, you know, we are one body. Honestly, we work together. Really quick, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I would love, honestly, I prayed and debated this morning about just preaching out of Ephesians 4. But I didn't do it. One of these days we are going to jump into Ephesians 4 again because there's some good truths to learn. And the pinnacle and the highlight, I think, is, or at least one of the highlights, is in verse 16. Look at verse 16. Because this captures what we're getting right at now. If you read through all of Ephesians chapter 4, we see that there's one this and one that. And he's talking about the church, the saved people, and specifically in the local church, we've been given these groups of people to lead us for, so that we can train people to do this, and so that they can do the work of the ministry, so that everybody can be edified. Now again, I'm going really quick through Ephesians chapter 4. But he works his way down through these verses, and he gets to verse 16, which helps us this morning to look at this oneness of the body. Notice what he says, and again, I'm just going to limit myself in being short, but I'm going to preach through this again very soon. But notice what he says in verse 16. From whom the whole body, that's individual parts, like you, fitly, adequately, perfectly, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What does that phrase mean, every joint supplieth? Everybody working with what they have been made to do the job, right? Everybody supplying. Oh, there's a lot of side notes that I'd love to get in here. Supplying. Everybody needs to supply. And we could make a lot of applications. Is everybody doing your part? But we're not going to talk so much about that this morning. He says, that which every joint supplies, so every body part, again, back to the body, all those trillions of body parts doing exactly what they're supposed to do. I'm doing it. Everybody's doing it. And are you thankful when you have a body that every part is functioning properly? Okay, not many of us have those bodies anymore because our bodies are slowly dying. Wouldn't it be neat to have a body that was fully functioning? I wonder what our bodies are going to be like someday in heaven. Yes, they're going to be fully functioning, okay? We're going to be able to do everything, you know, what as far as the body is can do. But he says, so every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the same measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everybody doing its work. I'm here. We talk about every member ministry, and we're not really talking about whether you are a member, official member of Faith Bible Church. No, we're really talking about who Faith Bible Church is. If you're here this morning, you're part of that every member that's involved here. Some people like to get outside of that responsibility by not becoming a member, and so they think, well, I don't have to do this because I'm not a member. Brother and sister, if you're saved here today, you're part of the body of Christ. Did you hear that? If you're saved, you have been placed into the body, and therefore you ought to be plugged into this body as well. Ought to. It's a responsibility. It's a designation that you ought to have. You ought to plug yourself in to help. What good is a body part that has no purpose? I submit to you that our body has parts that are functioning in some way. I think God put it there for a reason. And you know what? God put you here for a reason. You're in Faith Bible Church. You're here for a reason. It's to do something for His glory so that everybody can be edified, so that we can honor and glorify Him. He put you here for a reason. Now think about the body. So we've been selected, we've been put out here, and we've got the same Master and the same Lord through the same gospel, through the same cause of Jesus Christ. We're one people, we're brothers and sisters, and we all have one function to honor and glorify Him. And we find ourselves in the same room, and we look at each other and say, you know what? We are part of the same body. I'm not another person over there. No, I'm the same body as you. I've been put in this individual body. Now, if all my body parts got together and they could talk and collaborate, that's what they'd be saying. You know what? I was put into Sean Madrid. You know what? So was I. And this is my individual body. This right here. You know what? There's a group of people in the body that can say, my body is Faith Bible Church. Well, so am I. And that's my local assembly as well. And this is my local assembly. And all of you, that's who you are. This is your church. You know what? We have a common bond that we look and say, you know what? It's neat how God has placed us here. Not only do we have the same Lord, we have the same book, the same gospel. We have the same, we're all sons of God. We're right here, excuse me, and we've all been placed in the same church. One body. So that one body for the purpose of encouraging and loving other people for His honor and for His glory. Folks, we have a lot of things in common. And we could talk a whole lot more about that. The last thing before we're dismissed, we have one command. Now, when I say one command, I'm not saying exclusively that's the only thing that God says. But in this passage, there's one thing to understand. And it comes in verse 23, right at the 22, right at the end. He says, seeing you have purified your soul, so you're saved through obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That's what you got when you got saved. You have a general love for the brothers and sisters. He says as a directive, see that ye love. This is more than just the brotherly love that you have been given with at salvation. He says, I want you to love one another with a pure heart fervently. So there's the directive. I want you to love each other purely. I want you to love them deeply, fervently. The word pure heart that we get, this is clean, unobstructed, unmixed, a deepened. This is the depth of this love. Do you know that the love that we're supposed to have in this common bond, this that all of us have this one command, this is another thing we share, that we have, it's supposed to be deep. I could ask you this morning, you know, what's your relationship with so-and-so, you know, sitting, you know, you here and there over there. What's your relationship? And say, well, I don't know them really well, and I don't, you know, we don't do much, we don't talk much, there's a problem. He says that we're supposed to have pure love. That means it's supposed to be deep. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that in this directive, God is telling us, He said, I want you to get past the surface with these people. I want you to get deeper than what meets the eye. I want you to get deeper than just saying hi on Sunday mornings and at Sunday nights. I want you to get deeper than shaking their hands and putting a smile on your face when, you know, when we're directed to shake hands every service that we have here. I want you to get a little bit deeper, and I want you to get into their lives, and I want you to help them and be the blessing. Why? Because you have one Lord, you have one gospel, you have one in all the things that we've just gone through. You've got all these things in common, and I've given you one command, and I want you to get deep with your love. Do you realize that God expects you to get deep with your love to these people right here? He expects it. This is not something that we can just say, well, it's not that big of a deal. No, He's telling us right now how we ought to love each other. It needs to be deep. It needs to be pure. It needs to be clean and obstructed, deepened love. That's the pure heart. Notice He used another descriptive word right at the end. It's the last word in the verse. And that's the word fervently. What does fervently mean? Serious? Well, the word fervently is literally this. Let me explain it to you before I tell you what it is. When you watch the Olympics, Not the odd year Olympics, okay? When you watch the Olympics, if you weren't at the senior appreciation banquet, then you missed out and you have no idea what I just talked about. But our young people did some funny things, you know, for the seniors in the church, and they did some really neat things. But anyway, when you're in the real Olympics, okay, the position of the athlete, let's say he's doing the 100-meter dash, when they're crossing the finish line, are they, and I can't really do it very well without falling over, but are they leaning back when they're crossing the finish line? No. When they cross the finish line, are they fully upright, straight up and down? No. When they cross the finish line, if you've ever watched the slow motion or one of those cameras that got them right when they crossed, what are they like? Oh, they are leaning forward with everything they can so that they go across. In other in something else, there might be something that they have to reach and are all stretched out for with every fiber in their body. They're stretched all out. In some cases, a neck would be all stretched out trying to get across, or whatever body part that is. The word that is given here is completely stretched out. The idea is your love is deep and your love is to the maximum capacity, stretched for your brother and sister. I don't know about you, but this passage is very convicting because I look at it and say, really? Do I have deep love for all my brothers and sisters? Am I all stretched out for all of them? But that's what God's expecting. He put us together in the same boat for this. He put us together. And you can see it. I want you just to think. If we get together 60 people, and 60 people are all stretched out for the other 59 people, do you think it would be advantageous to each one of those 60 people? What do you think? Did you get it? Let me say it again. If I am all out for 60 people. I'm all out. I do everything that I can. And that's just me, though. But then the second person goes all out. And then the third person goes all out. And you go around the room. And so everybody's got 59 people going all out for them. Would it advantage your spiritual life? What's the answer? Yeah. That's God's intention. God intends for us. He put us in the same unit to be all out for each other. It's a deep love. He said, I saved you and I gave you a brotherly love for each other. But he said, I want more of it. I want more than that. I want you to love each other to the fullest. Well, Jesus gives us the example he tells us what to do without, he wasn't willing to do it himself. Or was he? What do you think? Did Jesus fully give himself on the cross? Did he stretch all the way out? He did. And he expects his brothers and sisters to be doing the same. That really ought to convict this group of people right here. But I'll tell you what it also ought to do. We see a lot of unit. We see a lot of common bonds here. This going through these five things ought to do one thing. It ought to say, you know what, folks? We need to get closer together. We need to bring ourselves into closer proximity. We need to get to know what's going on in each one of our lives. We need to do this. We have found all these things in common. We ought to be together. Commonness brings oneness, unity. I hope that it will. You know, as we look around, wow. May it bring us closer. And I'll tell you that one of the things that DBS does is do that. It's trying to bring us closer. You know what? Today I got to sit in. Roger wasn't able to be in his DBS today, and so I led it. And I went, and there was only about three guys in there. And I loved it. Roger, you don't have a class anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I loved it because I got to talk with them and hear a little bit about so-and-so and what's going on with there. you know what? I'll tell you what, I felt like I knew some of those guys more than when I did when we started. Why? Because we got together and we talked about some things that we go through. And they probably learned about some things about me that they didn't know that I go through and struggle with. That's what it does. I want to encourage you. Let's find the common bonds that we have. And we have some strong common bonds that most of the world does not have. Let's come together and rally and say, hey, I'm one of them too. I'm one of them. Yes, that's us. We are going to do this together. God, would you please help us? Would you please help us to decide to come together and say, I'm going to be dedicated, sold out to this place. I want to come in and help my brothers and sisters. God, would you help us? Lord, would you help us? God, I thank you as we've looked at this. Lord, these common things that pull us together. Lord, may they do it. May they do it even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.